welcome to Ray and Tay Today. Hello, and welcome to the show on this Saturday. We thought we'd shake it up a little bit. So we got a lot to talk about. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, hyped to bring you another show, not Friday, but on Saturday. It's kind of fun, a little something different from Ray and Tay. We like to throw you some curveballs and knuckleballs to see if y'all listening or checking us out. So give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, email us at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, NBA League Leaders, standings there, a lot of talk, information. You can see and find out about our NFL preview show of the Super Bowl. That's at rayandtaytoday.com, at rayandtaytoday. Tweet at us, because a lot of people do. We got our boy at ESPN tweeting at us, Seth Greenberg, and a lot of other folks. So, you know, we love the dialogue. We love talking sports with friends. So that's what we do. So hit us up. And like always, Ray, let them know how we're going to break down the show, man. It's a short. We're getting in quick and hitting them.
It's a quickie, but it's worth it.
A goodie.
So we're going to start with breaking news. We're going to go all the way across the globe to Australia. So we've got a women's champion, and we'll have a men's finals tomorrow morning or 3 a.m., depending on where you are, 3 a.m. East Coast time. Then we'll take a run around the NBA. We have a new high scorer at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the two people he surpassed. We'll give you our thoughts on that. We'll talk about NBA All-Stars. We'll get into the Pro Bowl really quickly. We'll talk about what to look for this week as we lead up to the Super Bowl on Sunday. And we'll end the show with a quick look at some college hoops. Starting
Clap
already, there's some games going on right now. And then
your boy Jabari
some,
Parker's getting busy. Duke,
oh, yeah.
The Duke heads out there.
Michigan State is probably the highlight of the college basketball day
That's
today.
Gonna be good.
So, yeah, we'll talk about all of that stuff. So let's get into it. So let's start with the breaking news. So we've got tennis down under. Thankfully, it's not 108 degrees anymore. That's behind us. We have a women's champion. So the third time's a charm, Li Na. Yeah, her Slovakian opponent, Dominika Cibulková. So she's got, that's a mouthful, but she beat her 7-6 in the first set, so you figured, oh, this one was going to go down to the wire. But no, 6-love in the second set. So
good for Na.
Good for Na, right?
You know,
she's been around.
Yeah,
she's been huffing and puffing
and sniffing,
knocking
yeah.
on the door. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when Serena went down, and then Azarenka, and then
and Sharapova. Yeah,
Sharapova. So those were 1, 2, and 3. You figured, all right, number 4, Li Na, this is your chance. So good for her. She withstood all of the heat and everything in Melbourne. And good for the Chinese Tennis Federation. And kudos to Li.
Well, you want to see now, Ray, what you want to see is can she follow it up with at least the semifinals at Wimbledon, you know? At the French Open, you know, then leading into Wimbledon. So, you know, that's the thing. Once you sort of crack, right, because we saw Sloane Stephens upset Serena, but then she's never appeared again, you know, past the quarterfinals. So I think when you start to get to that next tier, when you finally win and get in the semis, you know, for women, even for men, it's hard to break in, you know, and it makes you realize how great a Sharapova or Serena is, or Venus, like this dominance, right? Steffi Graf, you know, Martina, all these
yeah.
people. To be consistently great, it's not easy, ladies and gentlemen. So let's see how Na can build off of this. I'm excited and happy for
from the hard surface in Melbourne to
yes,
the clay at Roland Garros, right? Totally different
yeah.
surfaces. But on the men's side, so again, another one of those where you thought it was going to be a great match. 7-6 in the first set.
Them.
Nadal wins against Federer, and then 6-3, 6-3 on the next two sets. So Nadal just owns Federer these days, and good
for him.
It's
been a while.
Yeah. I think, what are they, 8-2 in semifinals and finals against each other. So pretty much one-sided with Rafa taking that. And he's going to face another Swede, Stanislas Wawrinka. So he beat Tommy Burdich. It was a four-set match, but he has an extra day off. So fatigue won't be a factor here. So we've got ourselves a finals coming up, and it looks like, you know, it's hard to bet against Rafa Nadal. You know, he gets fired up for these Grand Slams. And
I was looking at Djokovic, but I got to tell you, Nadal, to me, you know, he first of all, he's great at the Australian Open, but Nadal is I think once he gets in a rhythm, it's kind of hard to beat him. That's how good he is. So if he's healthy and playing well, it's rare that people, you know, knock him off. If you're being honest, that's how the guy plays.
Be honest with me now. Be honest.
Be honest. Well, let's be honest. At Torrey Pines, honestly, it's all about Jordan Spieth. Okay, that's who is 10 under, and Tiger is nowhere to be found. You know, I was looking for my man Justin Day, was doing a little bit, and then dropped off. I think what's interesting to see is that you've got to play better than par. You know what I mean?
Torrey Pines is where Tiger's done a lot of damage, so he's got no issues with the course. But you know what? That's okay. I mean, it's competitive out there. So Jordan.
Well, you got a lot of new names. Gary Woodland's up there. You know,
sure.
You got a bunch of different guys.
Stewart Cink is right behind him, though. That's a known name. But you got this kid from Belgium. You got Gary Woodland. You got a tie for fourth with Billy Horschel and Mark Leishman. So a whole lot of names that are like, whoa,
Nicholas,
if you're not a huge golf fan,
Cola
you don't
Sorrento,
know these guys.
Yeah. I'm like, who are these guys? But that's good. I think it's good for golf. And, you know, look, it's heating up out here in the Scottsdale area. We're in the 70s, and next week it's perfect for golf because the Phoenix Open is coming into town, and people are excited. And what's so great out here, everything is green. I mean, everything is green. You know, the trucks, everything is about, health and going green. So the whole tournament is going to be a green tournament. There will be, no waste. So they've been talking about that on the news out here. And so that's positive for life and sports. So, but enough of golf and tennis. The peoples want to hear about Carmelo dropping 62 in the world's famous arena, Ray.
My Mello.
Come on.
So,
get on the mic.
What'd you think as you saw it transpire? Let me start with that.
Well, number one, I'm going crazy. I can't reach Ray. He's globetrotting, going to an event with wifey. He's all over the place. And I'm like, homie, pick up your phone. Melo's got 39, about to drop 60. You know, so that was number one. I think, and that's what's so great about sports. When great events happen like this, you can't be alone. My wife Alana was at Costco, and she's hearing gentlemen talking to each other, guys that don't know each other in line at Costco or going by with their cars, like, Melo got 62 tonight. You know what I mean? So that's what's so great, and I think also that's what's great about Melo. You know, and we were talking about this, and we'll get into the top five small forwards right now. We'll talk about the all-stars because we're talking about it off air, and it's fascinating. But you don't get that from Paul George, and you do get the great defense, and he's becoming this great player. But Melo is like – it's almost like he's like, Durant, you got 54? I'm going to one-up you, you know. And shout-out to Bernard King and Kobe, right? Bernard King and Richie Guerin had 57. Bernard King was the record holder for the Knicks at 60. And Kobias in 2009 – right, BK Love was 84 Christmas Day, but Kobias in 09 comes in and drops the 61. You know, Jordan got the double nickel, the 55. So, you know, Carmelo getting a 62 is great because it's his career high. You know, it was an important win for them because they got to turn it around on this homestand. And just in general, they're battling the Bobcats, you know, getting that eighth spot. They're only a couple games out of first in the Atlantic. And so it was just great. And this is why you got to keep Melo and rebuild around him. Go trade for Rondo. Get Goran Dragic. You know, go get him some players. Don't let this guy go to Chicago. There's rumors today in Real GM that he'd rather go to Chicago than L.A. I don't want to hear it. Keep Melo in New York.
Yeah, but, well, we'll talk about that another day. But let me give you my thoughts on the day real quick.
Yeah.
I saw the back end of it, right? So I didn't see him build up to all the, you know, all these points. So the two things
on
that came to mind.
On fire in the first half, 37.
The two things that came to mind were, one, three things, actually. One, thankfully, a Nick owns that record. So good for him that he brought it back to New York, and a Nick owns the scoring record at Madison Square Garden. Because with all due respect to Kobe, and I got a lot of respect for Kobe, a Laker shouldn't own the scoring record in the world's most famous arena. So that's number one. Number two, makes you understand how lovely Bernard King was. 60 points and 55, so he's got two of the top four performances at Madison Square Garden. And Eric and I were watching the game. It was Christmas Day. I was at his house, and Bernard put 40 in the first half and 20 in the second half and had 60. So that's my second thought. Bernard King came to mind, and now he's smiling.
And we've seen Bernard live score like 40s and I think 50s before.
Oh, yeah.
We've been in games where Bernard went crazy. I mean, you know.
And the third point, which I thought of independently, but I give Bill Simmons some credit too because he articulated it over the air, was there are, I believe the number is 21 people that have scored 60 points. And I know the Knicks are in a playoff run, and I know that they have a back-to-back, and they've got some games coming up. But there's only been five players to score 70 or more. So at 7.5, 8 minutes left in the game, if you left Carmelo in there, this day could have been even more special. He could have been up there.
Yeah. I think he went out. Wasn't it with 5 minutes? I don't know.
David Thompson.
Either way, you're right.
David Robinson. Kobe Bryant.
Elgin Baylor.
Yeah. Elgin Baylor. And of course, the big difference.
Wilt.
So that are
How
those are the only
that
players
guy.
That have ever scored 70. And with 8 minutes to go, Carmelo was 8 points away from joining that illustrious club. Look, I have no beef with what Woody did, no problem at all. But, you know, when you're near that, it just makes you think, wow, that would have been crazy. Think about if Carmelo had scored 73, and he would have been highest scoring performance ever.
Okay, this will warm your heart because you didn't see this. The pregame, they had an interview with Melo, and it was, you know, pre-recorded. But, you know, they asked him about, you know, growing up and, you know, his favorite team, you know, and his favorite players. He gave love to Bird, Barkley, different guys, but he said his guy was Bernard King.
Wow.
And I'm just like, that is just perfect karma, Ray. You know what I mean? Like, he was straight up. He was like, my man was Bernard King. He even gave, you know, props to Chris Webber, different cats, but he was like, his favorite player was Bernard King. And then to go ahead that night and drop
it. Well, that's the guy who probably his game is most like. A little bit different, but, you know, that ultimate
He shoots a little bit
force.
Longer. He's got a better three than Bernard. Bernard was more, you know, 15
but
to 18.
But a big, strong, like, bull intimidates you on offense. That's great.
So going from there, let's segue it to two things. Let's talk about the top five small forwards right now in the league. Because obviously we see these guys going off, LeBron, Durant, you know, Melo, Paul George. You could debate George and Melo 3 and 4. Career-wise, you're going to go with Melo right now. Maybe you're saying this season because he plays defense a little bit more. But Melo, 13 rebounds last night, ladies and gentlemen, and no turnovers. Just
That's
so
great.
You know.
That's a point that
just
we
so
didn't
you
know this either, but he had no turnovers.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
You know what I mean? And, Ray, he's averaging 9 boards a game. Melo is a horse.
He really
but,
is.
But, okay, so even if you want to say George 4 and 3 and Melo 4, who is the fifth best small forward? And maybe people can you know, tweet us and email us, but who is number 5 at small forward in the NBA right now? And I threw up just a couple of names, Nicholas Batum, Rudy Gay, Andre Iguodala, you know, Luol Deng. You know, those are probably the guys right there, you know, that are sort of touching it. But
I'm gonna give you
who
a
would
name.
You take?
I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to throw a curveball at you. I don't know if you're ready, though. Are you ready? Because you're not in baseball mode. You know, you ready for my curveball?
I'm ready for your curveball, man.
I'm
just don't have no
somebody
spit on
at you right now.
Okay.
So Luol Deng is probably the guy that comes to mind first.
Paul
so
Pierce, I was saying, still the
Paul
veteran.
Paul Pierce,
you know.
2 years ago, would have been my answer to this question, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's there anymore. So,
probably
I mean,
not.
If you want to be, like, right up into the moment, I don't think Paul Pierce
yeah.
has been the man. I'm going to give you a name.
Okay.
Tell me if you're ready. When you're ready, let me know when you're ready.
Ray's digging
deep.
I'm ready, playboy. I'm ready, playboy.
All right. How about, and he's a guy that's limited a little bit by his coach and his system, Kawhi Leonard.
You know, and it's not that I didn't think of him. I just think he's that, you know, and if you go top 10, he's sort of up and coming and maybe in two more years. You know what he's got to get, Ray? He's just got to get a consistent jumper. He's not there yet with that. But I, you know, we saw what he did in the
both
finals.
Both sides of the court
yep.
in the finals
I love his
on
game.
A winning team with good fundamentals, with good coaching. Doesn't have the great stats, but, you know, when you've got Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, and, of course, Timmy on your team, you're the fourth option.
Big
so Timmy. Good kid without actually them running any real plays for him. I like this kid. Look, right now it's Luol Deng, but keep an eye
is
out.
Deng, is Deng
Leonard.
Definitely better than Andre Iguodala? Do we sort of diss Iggy? I mean, because I think now Iggy's with – you know, with Golden State, it's different. He's not shooting as much. Obviously, he's with the Splash Brothers and David Lee, who are the first three options. Because he's, you know, been an Olympian. He plays great defense. He gets assists and steals. Iguodala.
But they're very close.
Yeah, him and Deng.
Their impact on the game. I like Deng a little bit more. I like Deng a little bit more offensively. I think he's more consistent. And I like Deng a little bit more defensively.
A little bigger defensively.
Iguodala is athletic, you know, as can be. You're drawing straws, right? If one is five, the
yeah.
other six, seven, they're right there.
They're right there. Okay. So let's talk about these All-Stars, man. So, you know, the fans voted. Let's look at the West first. I mean, you know, you have, thank goodness, Curry is getting the respect. Curry and Kobe Bryant. We'll talk about that in a second. And then up front, you know, it's forward. So your boy Dwight Howard gets kind of dissed, which, you know, hey, whatever you could say right now, they're the fifth seed in the West,
well,
whatever.
That's what Mike
Trubisky
said. He said, where are – we retweeted him. He said, where are the centers? There are no
yep.
pure centers out there.
Well, and so it's Blake Griffin, Kevin Durant, and Kevin Love. Now, Kevin Love's team – they're like, what, ninth or tenth in the West. So I don't know about, you know, I love Kevin Love, and I think he's amazing, but he's not making necessarily the players
well,
around
but
him.
But it's
still, you know,
the West, and even if they're 500 in the West, that's pretty impressive.
Right, but this is what I'm saying. I think the fans should have put in LaMarcus Aldridge. What LaMarcus is doing right now, and the game afterwards when they played, you know, on TNT, what did he wind up dropping, like 44 and 14? Listen, this guy's having an MVP season. LaMarcus is in the top three or four for MVP. He's up there with LeBron, Durant, and Paul George. You want to talk MVP, you got to throw LaMarcus Aldridge in the conversation. Constantly,
no, for sure.
Every single night.
For sure, but here's my question. So if you're going to leave somebody off, LaMarcus Aldridge, would you leave him? Well, Blake Griffin's had a great, you know, 10 days
yeah.
since Chris Paul's been gone. But I would argue Blake Griffin, you know, if you're going to put LaMarcus on, you could put him on instead of Blake Griffin, instead of Kevin Love.
No, very but, true. So real quick, I mean, obviously Friday, Thursday night, the reserves will be announced. Friday's our NFL preview show, and we'll touch on the reserves a little bit. In a very football, you know, obviously dominated show, having George Reister on, and we'll be previewing the Super Bowl. But let's talk about right now. So you got that five. I believe Kobe's not going to play, so you believe James Harden would start in his place, and he deserves to, and, you know, whatever, not Jeremy Lin or whatever, in terms of what, if you just go by the numbers of the fans voting. So who would be your next seven? Let's just say no Kobe, and you got Harden in. You know, how do you – I mean, obviously, Dwight Howard and LaMarcus are two guys up front that you got to put in. Do you think the young guy gets a bone, Anthony Davis, who's been playing extremely well lately in New Orleans at his home court?
Well, so it's a question, right? If you've got two spaces – so LaMarcus Aldridge is for sure. Dwight Howard
yeah.
is for sure. Now your
right.
problem is – your next forwards are basically two out of three between DeMarcus Cousins in Sacramento, who actually is starting to win some games, Dirk Nowitzki, who is still Dirk, but you figure Monte Ellis is taking some of the scoring away from him, but they're winning games too, actually, and Anthony
Eighth
Davis.
Seed right now.
So maybe you get all three of them in, or maybe two out of the three get in.
Well, it could be Dirk, Monte, and Anthony, you're right, along with LaMarcus and Dwight. That's five, and then you need two more. You got to believe that you're gonna get in maybe
Thompson,
Damian Lillard.
Maybe.
Lillard and Thompson. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I think
they need another
Lillard
point guard. The problem is that you might need another point guard. Although James Harden can theoretically play the point, if you want to strictly go by point guards, you might look at like a Mike Conley or somebody.
He's not going to make the All-Star. That's what I'm saying. I mean, right there, look, we have 11 and we're looking for one more. And if you have Lillard and Thompson, I could see. I don't know. You know, that's going to be fascinating. I mean, Monte Ellis.
I was going to say, the West's going to have a lot of size. Think about what the East needs to do. The East needs to bulk up. And so the East, especially if you figure they put LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMarcus Cousins, Dwight Howard, Anthony Davis, all these guys, they beef up. So the East's got to beef up, too. So the East is probably
looking at... Well, tell them the East starters first.
Yeah, so the East starters... Pretty obvious who the East starters were going to be, right? It's LeBron, Paul George, Carmelo in the front court. So basically three small forwards. But they can all rebound.
They
can all rebound fairly well. You know, these guys are all 6, 7, 8, 9 rebound a game guys.
Talented.
And then in the backcourt. And then in the backcourt, you have Dwayne Wade.
Kyrie Irving. And Wade will probably play. I mean, he's resting now, but he'll play. So then, who are your top reserve? Look, I think right away in the East, Hibbert's going in. I got to believe Lance Stephenson will make it. Paul Millsap, those are the first three guys.
I think those are the first three, right?
Yeah, that I can think of. You got to maybe take one of the Detroit guys. I think. They're not having a great season, but I think
Andre Drummond, just because he's all boards, he might go. Him or Noah, you figure you got to bring one of those two.
The Bulls are still up there, the five seed. Let me ask you this. Can Aaron Afalo get some love, even though he's playing on the Magic and having a really good season? You've been bigging him up all year. Can he get some love?
Yeah, he's been great statistically, cooled off a little bit first. 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Scoring 23-24 a game. It's possible. I probably think that John Wall will make it
Chris Bosh as your first guard. Oh, that's right. Yeah, John Wall.
Chris Bosh.
And we forgot about Bosh. Yeah,
Chris Bosh. Although in terms of small people, so you got John Wall and Lance Stephenson probably are going to make it. And then
the question.
The
one and two. Yeah.
Who else do you add? And you know who messed around and got a triple-double? And is making a strong case for himself, you won't even believe it when I tell you. Kyle Lowry of the first place Toronto Raptors. You could
22-20, Ray.
He is making a case. This is a weak year in terms of all-star guards in the East, especially considering that Derrick Rose is hurt. You would pencil Derrick Rose in for a spot. So, look, Kyle Lowry is pushing
the
All-Star.
What about
from
the Pacers? Could they get four? Could they also get in David West?
I don't think so. Is the other big guy up front?
No.
At the expense of...
No, Millsap and Bosh have got to go.
Yeah, I would imagine Millsap and Bosh, and you got to take Drummond and or Noah. So I don't know how many front court spots you have.
What about Josh Smith? I just got an email. This is Brian... he's actually from Houston.
Probably from Detroit. Oh, no.
Yeah, but he's actually from Houston. Okay, this is really good. He's like, you guys didn't mention Josh Smith at small forward. Got to believe he's in the top 10, if not number 5. Okay, well, thanks for listening and definitely hitting
on the topic. Okay, good comment,
yeah,
Brian. But to me,
he's a tweener, but
he's
I guess
a three
if you
and a half.
Yeah.
He's a 3.5. Is he really a 3 or really a 4? I don't know. I don't know his long-term, you know, position. He played four basically in Atlanta, especially when they got hurt, and then they had to move your boy to the five, right? They had to move what's his name, the big fella, to the five, Al Horford.
Yeah.
But now in Detroit, when he's got two monsters,
he's playing,
four and five,
yeah.
He's playing three. He's good. He's very good.
That team
good,
is underachieving,
talented.
Ray. Are you kind of – I'm a little disappointed right now in Detroit. They haven't had huge injuries. And with those three guys and Brandon Jennings, they should be doing better. Detroit should be in the playoffs right now. They should be a top
eight
team.
They should be. They should be, especially given what all the moves that they've made and that devastating front court. But they're not. So, anyway, we'll look forward to some fun NBA All-Star activity and some lead-up and some talk. Let's transition real quick because we're talking All-Stars. Let's talk about the pro football. Let's talk about the NFL All-Stars. The pro
team
football coming
Sanders
up on Sunday.
Or Team Rice? I like it. It was a lot of fun. These guys are making it light. It should be a fun game. You know, Drew Brees has got Jimmy Graham and his offensive line and different guys on Team Rice and Team Sanders. He, you know, drafted all the young guys, and at the end he had drafted Mathis, but then actually traded him. I forgot who he traded him for, but it's a lot of fun. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's interesting to see the mixtures of conferences, and I think these guys might actually play a little bit harder. Now, granted, look, nobody's stupid and going to, like, hurt themselves. All the Niners, like, you know, bowed out. But it was great because, one of the best rookies, Eric Reed, got to go from the Niners. So, he's there. And I don't know, Ray. I think it'll be fun. I'll tune in. I mean, tomorrow, you know, I mean, look, everybody's watching the Grammys tomorrow night. So, the Pro Bowl, you know, I forgot what time it kicks off, but got to watch the Grammys, man. Got to watch the Grammys. But, you know, we definitely love music on this show. I want to see if Beyonce performs with Jay-Z. That'll be kind of fun. And, you know, you got Taylor Swift and your girl performing Katy Perry. So we'll see what happens. But to me, I think what's fascinating is who's not at the Pro Bowl. And it's the two teams that are in the Super Bowl. And obviously next week, Monday and on Friday, we'll preview it more. But just looking at some of the keys and you know, what do you feel about Percy Harvin being back and finally potentially being healthy? And how much can he affect the game, not just as a receiver, but also special teams? Let's not discard his punt return skills and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on that for the Seahawks?
I'm actually scared of him taking too many hits. So I don't know if they will let him return punts. They'll figure out the way that he's most effective because he's one hit away from getting, you know, another concussion or something where he'll be knocked out of the game. So they got to limit
the
number of times.
He's a one-hit wonder? You're not buying his album? One-hit wonder?
No, I am buying. That's the problem. I am buying. When Percy Harvin's healthy, he's a top receiver. I mean, he's on the level of DeSean Jackson in terms of playmaking ability. This guy's unbelievable, and it's very important to get him on the field. And even as a decoy, you've got to open this up, and you've got to become a little less conservative. Even though Russell Wilson hasn't made any big mistakes, he had that fumble, that strip sack fumble,
hasn't made any big mistakes.
I think he's going to have to make plays against Denver. This is not a team that you're going to beat 17-13. You know, this is a team that if they beat them, you gotta score.
Score
will be in the 20s, if not the 30s. So Russell Wilson's going to have to make plays. And I think part of that is Percy Harvin and that receiving core getting open down the field and stretching, because I don't think you can
rely
on
Marshawn Lynch.
And I like
the young kid who made the big catch. I think Jermaine Kearse is going to have to step up and open up the field. You know, you like Tate and Baldwin, but they're more possession receivers, and I think Kearse has shown that he has the speed along with Harvin. So having those four, I think sometimes the Seahawks got to take a page out of Peyton Manning's book. Go four wide now with Harvin, Kearse, Baldwin, and Tate. You know, go four wide, forget Zach Miller, and then spread them, and then, you know, punch, you know, Marshawn Lynch, you know, down their throats.
Yeah, Marshawn will get his, although this
defense right, right, but
run
just being able
good.
To spread the field, I think, is a benefit, you know what I mean? To
yeah,
go
I would
for
agree
a while.
With that.
I,
and
I
Percy
think,
Harvin's
you know,
the key to
be.
That to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So what do you think about Noshon? I mean, Noshon was a little banged up, but he's going to be fine. I think, you know, let's see. You talk about concussions and hits, you know Wes Welker. I think it's going to be interesting to see all of the Seahawks corners match up against the Broncos, you know, three-headed monster receiver and Julius Thomas. That's where, and,
well, that's
and
the
for me,
four-headed monster. I mean, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this: but do you
four
put
guys?
Do you put Chris Clemens or Bobby Wagner on Thomas, or do you have to use Chancellor or, you know, one of the safeties? You know, it depends
you
on, you know, if they're going nickel.
I think you have to use a safety on him. Yeah, I don't think that you can put a linebacker on Julius Thomas.
Bobby Wagner.
Especially in a four-wide situation. It's just a mismatch that's going to kill you. So
you know, he's leading the team in tackles right now, Bobby Wagner, for the Seahawks. He's a monster on the field.
No, he's
great.
Great
draft pick.
He's great,
yeah.
And I just think that this is the team, the Broncos, that marginalizes the Seattle front seven by spreading them out. So it's going to be a test of can four guys get to Peyton, or is Peyton going to have enough time to find one of his four receivers? You know, they have five guys essentially that can score on any play. You know, they got Moreno,
yeah, even,
and the four receivers.
Yeah. And Caldwell's not bad as your fifth option.
Yeah.
Peyton, man, this team is it's
yeah,
ruthless.
Give the GM some credit. I mean, John Elway and that whole crew for putting this you know, collection of players around Peyton. You know, Peyton he had some, maybe at the star level, you could argue that Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison were better, but I don't think he's ever had this set of weapons. Oh, and of course, obviously, you know, the running backs that Peyton's had, but I don't know that he's had this much depth.
No,
five guys,
you're right.
And 10 touchdowns. I mean, that's unbelievable.
That's amazing. We'll talk about it more next week. Now, look, as we're winding down, we got to talk. We got to clap boards and put our feet on the ground and look at Syracuse is spanking Miami right now. I want to ask you about a couple of these games. Obviously, you know, Duke was up pretty big at the half, and they were leading, 55-38. Jabari Parker's playing great. But the big game of the day, right, you have Michigan, number 21, or of the night, at number 3, Michigan State. Looks like no Dawson, no Payne. Is that no problem? Can Michigan State still handle Michigan?
Well, you also heard the whole Nick Stauskas, his dad, was saying how he's going to go to the pros, and now Nick was apologizing for his dad, so maybe that's a little distraction. I think that
he's been playing great lately, but
he has been. No, it's fine to go to the NBA. Just don't talk about it in January. That's okay. I mean,
no big deal.
But to be honest,
I don't. We both know Stauskas is not ready yet. Not with this draft. He would drop to the second round so quickly, Ray. He's not that good.
I think in Lansing that Michigan State will still find a way. They've got enough upperclassmen that they find a way to pull this off. Go to 19-1.
And they got Denzel. You man, Denzel Valentine, baby. Gary Harris.
Appling and Gary Harris. I'm a little disappointed
with
Gary Harris.
I'm going to ask you this, but he's been in and out with injuries, but when they're both healthy, do you think Michigan State has the best backcourt in college hoops with Appling and Harris?
Probably, because they're both
got two-way players.
Experience. Appling's a senior, Harris is a sophomore. They've both got experience. They can both score. They can create on their own. They can play in big games. So they may not be as explosive as others athletically, but they're hard matchups, you know. So I like both of them, yes. And so the short answer is probably they're the best backcourt in the nation.
Does Arizona go 20-0? Do they handle Utah
today? Well, you
had them
going undefeated until the tournament, right? So
listen,
I trust you. You're out in Arizona.
I say yes. I mean, they're a smooth bunch of dudes. They play ball. You know what it is? They take the mindset of their coach, who's a pure passing point guard, and they share the rock. There's no – Nick Johnson's not selfish. You know, TJ's, you know, pure point passing it. You got Ashley and Gordon, and, you know, these guys are – they're really
So what do they have? Utah coming in tomorrow, right? Sunday night they've got Utah coming in at 8.
Utah coming in.
I
think they're going to go 20-0.
I think they'll do it.
And
look,
then
I
the
don't
other,
think they'll go undefeated. Somebody's got to get them. Maybe they
really?
Can get them in the Pac-12 tournament. I don't know. I can't see them going undefeated.
Yeah.
The
well, maybe in the Pac-12 tournament, but I think
that's rare air.
Are.
That's like UNLV.
I know. Undefeated. Unlove. You know what I mean? So two questions before we finish things off here. Another ranked matchup, 22 at number 16, Kansas State against Iowa State. This Big 12, Ray, might be quietly a little underrated. What do you think about Kansas State? Can they travel into to Iowa State and to Ames and get it done?
I'll tell you what, Iowa State is one of the better stories this year. And
yeah.
Ames is a tough place to play, you know? So
yeah.
I'm not sure that Iowa State can go in there, or Kansas State. If this game were in Manhattan, I'd be saying something different. But
right.
I think that Iowa State might be too much. I think they got I think Iowa State is going to be too strong on the boards. I think that, I like Iowa State, actually, in a decent home game, maybe win 75-65, I don't know. Out a score. I don't usually give you basketball scores, but if you need one, I'll give you a basketball score. You
look
know,
at
like,
listen,
like
and this was out.
Like
this
that.
Is without Tay provoking. You know, I'm not poking the bear. This is a big step. Ray's giving you a score, ladies and gentlemen. You better write it down and call your bookie. We don't promote gambling, but if you do that, now listen. You got to give me something real here. Number 20 Pitt is at Yo Terps.
Oh, Lord, as part of
Terrapins.
The ACC.
How many Terrapins are out there pedaling? Yo, can before Maryland leaves the ACC to go to the Big 12 next year, can they upset Pitt? We got to see Pitt travel. It's going to be on ESPN2, so the crowd of the stadium, it's going to be hostile. This
what do you
is
call that
be
stadium now, the Comcast Arena?
Yeah, I mean, you know. This is the problem, right?
That's not Cole Fieldhouse. If this
it's
is at
Cole
Fieldhouse, I'd say something else.
You know what
else.
I mean? Because that's what I know. That's where I screamed and cheered and you saw me on TV. Cole Fieldhouse, baby, on ABC. Ray could tell you that story. But, you know, it is still College Park, Maryland. And it is, the Comcast Center. It just sounds weird. Comcast has taken over the world, by the way, them and Viacom. But I want to see? I want to see Maryland. I want to see Maryland pull off a big win. But this kid, Patterson, Ray, is a problem. He's almost got 5 assists a game, 17.5 points. Patterson is such a beast. The question is, can Maryland find a way with, you know, Wells and the guys to slow him down?
Lamar!
You know,
you like to see that. He's a senior. He's 6'5". He can, you know, do it all. He's kind of the stat stuffer. What is he like? You said 17.5, almost 5-5 a game. So
yeah,
he's
yeah.
the real deal. I like this kid. Look, I think
Patterson
Pitt is
nice.
Quietly – I don't want to say rebuilding.
Jamie Dixon.
He never went anywhere.
Yeah.
But
now he's consistent
like
every year.
I like Pitt.
And he doesn't have top-line recruits, you know?
He doesn't. And he does it with tough, hard-nosed players who buy into his system. So I like Pitt in this game, though, unfortunately for you
yeah.
Maryland Terrapin fans. I like Pitt to go into the contest.
They're
going to
get on you. They're
going to
get on Ray on Twitter. I'm going to call you out. I'm going to say, Ray, pick Pitt. They're going to get
did.
On you on Twitter,
I
man.
Did. I
Terrapin
did.
Fans,
I tell you
stand
how.
Up. But you know what's funny that you say that, right? That's a perfect and just a quick little analogy there. The way Dixon recruits, and he doesn't get the top-line guys, and they fit into a system, it's sort of like the guys that they get at Georgetown and their system. Because I feel Georgetown doesn't get the, you know, the top tier recruits, but every year, you know, I mean, obviously Otto Porter, you know, turned out to be a star, but every year they still find a way to be scrappy with lesser talent and be a, you know, if not a top 25 team, be a team that can make the tournament and just cause you some trouble. So, you know, salute Georgetown and Pitt, even though Pitt is in the ACC now and they left the Big East. I just want to see Wells have a big game. He's averaging 14 a game right now. He's got to drop 20. He's got to step it up. And we'll see what Mitchell can do and Allen. So, well, you know, that's college basketball. I got to tell you, to me, I told you straight up, I look right now, if I had to project out, I like Arizona, Michigan State. You know, you got to love Kentucky, but I like Kansas, and I like Arizona, Michigan State, Kansas, and I forgot the other team.
Yeah, like Iowa? Who do you have?
No.
Syracuse?
Yeah, and Cuse. Those are the four teams that I say I could see them, you know, getting. Now, obviously, it's rare that, you know, a high four like that will make it. I mean, usually, you know, Kansas might only wind up being a two or three seed. But it's those are the teams that I'm looking for to do a lot of damage in the tournament. Seniors, a mixture of young kids and seniors, you know.
I would say keep an eye out. Billy Donovan has been huffing and puffing and going to great eights or elite eights every time. I would say keep an eye out for Florida with Scotty Wilbekin, if he can be under control, and those big guys they have. So Prather up front with Nick, with Young and Murphy, and I think that the balance of outside shooting, up front rebounding, plus defense. I like Billy Donovan's team. They always fall one game short, or they have been anyway. But keep an eye out for Billy Donovan's team. And you know what else I would love? Mike Butler went to back-to-back final games three, 4 years ago. I would love to see Wichita State make the Final Four again, to show that it's not a fluke, that they
not
made it last year and they make it again this year. That would be awesome. Because,
they got not just Ron Baker, they got Wiggins' brothers on that team too.
Yeah. Most of the time,
so
you think George Washington made the tournament, then we really never heard from them again. VCU made the Final Four, and then not really, you know, didn't really do much. So Butler's really the only team I can think of in the last 25, 30 years that's really come out of nowhere.
Right. VCU has been consistent. Don't just shock
us. I'm saying making multiple Final Four.
Yeah. No. It's been, you're right, it's Butler. They're impressive.
So we got a lot to look forward to this weekend, you know, catching up on some college hoops, because we're going to be talking about it coming up soon. We'll get ready. We'll watch the Grammys. We'll watch the Pro Bowl. We'll watch, you know, all that's out there to watch. And then next week, we'll be doing a lot of NFL Super Bowl talk.
The football, baby, the football. Not the FIFA, but the football, the American football.
Great
show. Listen, Mello, we tip her hat. NBA has a great triple header. ABC, you know, it's got the Spurs Heat finals matchup, Lakers Knicks, and then I think on ESPN in the night they got the Nets are playing, I think. But you gotta look forward to seeing the Knicks continuing this homestand leading up to the night before the Super Bowl where they play the Heat. I think they've got the Celtics and the Cavs and some other people coming in. Lakers and Celtics, Cavs. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun. We'll see. Let's hope the Knicks can start to win again. You know.
Oh yeah. So we'll see you next time on Monday, and we'll have some recap of the weekend. We'll start our Super Bowl talk.
Thanks for listening to Ray and Tay. See you Monday, 5 o'clock.
With friends.
Peace.
We're out.
Ray and Tay.